Okay, so I need everyone's attention. We're at Memchat. We're beginning right now. Okay, Memchat 48A. Memchat Amrala. Memchat, okay, 95. So we're five lines from the top. We're says Tani Rav Yosef. So if you remember in yesterday's Gemara, we went through the Psukim of Sheira Onatak Sutan Lo Yigra. So there was Machloket what Sheira meant and what Onatah meant. So the simple Pshat, the Gemara learned Sheira is talking to the food. And the ona means conjugal relations, but the Gemara quoted a different version. Reb Lazar said she'ira refers to ona. She'ira means, you know, having the intimate relations, and ona means mizono. Ona means mizono. Let me let these people in. Listen. Right. So we're five lines to the top of Memchet Amud Aleph. So Tani Reb Yosef. Reb Yosef taught the following braisa. She'ira zukiruv basar. So he says she'ira refers to like physical intimacy. So this might go better with the last shot we learned from Blazar that she'ira is talking about conjugal relations. He says shlin haiba minhag parsi, and that's where the R school had it. He says shlin haiba minhag parsiim shemeshamshim yitzim b'lusheim, that a person shouldn't conduct his relations with his wife like the Persians. I don't know, Persia always comes up in the daf one way or another way. He says the Persians, I don't know, well, they have intimacy wearing their clothes. I don't know what that's all about. But I guess maybe they're on the run or something like that. He says it's interesting because remember the Gemara in Brachot talks away the way the Persians go to the bathroom and the Persians the way they eat meals. Anyway, so he says here, Misayale Rav Huna. So the Gemara says this supports Rav Huna, the Amar Rav Huna Haomer Efshi Elani Bevigdiv Hubevigda Behipevigda. If a person says I only want to have relations with I'm wearing my garment, she's wearing her garment, Yotziva don't take tuba. So we force him to divorce the wife and give ksuba. It's not the way a man should behave with his wife. But I will say that I saw in the Masifta of the Gemara, they said the Magen Avraham says that if she's agreeable and he's agreeable and they're doing it for tznius purposes, it is permissible to do it with the Gavim. But that's the what? Like tznius, a person doesn't want to, you know, be so exposed, you know, like that would be the tznius, you know, like what? Well, no, I'm saying, like, in other words, just you know, just the one part of the body you would have to be exposed, you know what I mean? Anyway, so any questions, comments, thoughts on what we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, let's keep moving. All right, now we're at the two dots on Memchet Amud Aleph. Okay, Reb Yehuda Omer Afilu Ani Shvi Sovachuli. So we learned the Mishnah, and this was the Mishnah on Sunday's daf, but we went over it last night as well. But just to refresh everybody's recollections, we said that a man is obligated to pay for the burial of his wife. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Afilo nishu v'shol l'ifchot mishnei chalim l'kunenet, that even the poorest family, the poorest man, he should at least hire two flute players and one woman for a dirge, to mourn at his wife's funeral. So the Gemara says, Afilo nishu v'shol l'ifchot mishnei chalim l'kunenet, so hanilo. So it sounds like from the Mishnah, Tanakama holds you don't need to hire the flute players and the woman to, you know, lament, the lamenter. So hey chidami, so the Gemara says, what exactly is the circumstance? Ida orcha, if that's per minag, in other words, this woman, that's the way her social circle always has that, and that's what she's used to. My tama the Tanakama, the Amar lo. Why would the Tanakama say that the husband is not obligated to do that? The Ida lab orcha, but if it's not her way to do that, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. What would be the reason Rabbi Yehuda says he is obligated to do it? So lo, Srika going to Orcha Didei, but love Orcha Didav. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah is talking about where is his derech. In other words, she is marrying up financially, and in his social circle, at the minimum, they hire two flute players and a mekonen at every funeral. That's Orcha, and it's Orcha Didei, but love Orcha Didav. But not her mishpacha doesn't have it that way. So Tana Kama Savar. So the Gemara later on Samach Aleph has this limud that a woman, like, she can marry up in marriage. In other words, if she came from a humble family and the husband is more financially better off, so now he has to support her the way his social circle does at the higher level. So Olaimo v'ena yoredet imo. But if she marries down financially, so then he still has to support her at her old level. So Hani Milim Echaim, the Gemara says it's only during her lifetime. So in other words, it means like this. So she's marrying up. So he has to support her at this fancy lifestyle. But the Tana Kama holds it's only during her lifetime. When she passes away, my obligation to do that is ceased. Avala Acharmitalo. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, Afilu Acharmita. Even after death, he has to support her to the higher level. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Uchva, Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. So Mar Uchva says the following, Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, let's just take a look at Rashi on the around the 10th narrow line. Hanimila Michayim. So the Tana Kama holds it's only during her lifetime I have to support her at this higher level. Kigon, who Amer Lahanik, Epino. Let's say he, the husband, wants her to nurse the child. They have a child together. She doesn't want to do it. No, she wants them to hire a wet nurse. Sort of like a fancier standard. But she comes from a family, humble family, where they would nurse the children. But in his mishpacha, they wouldn't. So if she says, I want a wet nurse, but she's marrying to a family where they hire wet nurses, so then she's hired and entitled to do that. But that's Mechayim during her lifetime. Right. In other words, no. She's marrying to a family that does hire wet nurses. In other words, what's up? What? All right, excuse me 1 second.
Hello, friends. When the cat's away.
Okay, that should work. Try that key, okay? Okay, 1 second, I'm sorry. Okay, well, let me just wrap this up. Okay, again. So Rashi's case is that he comes from a family, lower class family, where the women do nurse the children. And he comes from a family where they don't. But he says to her, I want you to nurse the child. And she, in other words, I want you to do it the way your family does it. And she says, no, I want to do it the way your family does it. So then she's entitled to do it the fancier way. But that's only Mechayim. It's only during her, you know, when she's alive. Okay, who said questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
The guy can't afford it. Can
what?
Marry somebody else. The guy cannot marry Alpha.
Wait, say again slowly. Okay, in this case, but please, I need everybody muted at the in the room.
In this case, he's wealthy. Okay.
In this case, we're talking about he's got the money. In other words, where she's wealthy,
right.
So he has to try to support her and her old lifestyle. Yeah, so you do the best you can with what you got. What can I tell you? Okay. All right. Let's keep moving. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. Now, all right. Let's see further the door. Now, Okay. But Amar Rav Chisda, we're around midway down the column on Mem Chet Amud Aleph. The Amar Rav Chisda Amar Mar Ukva. Rav Chisda is in Mar Ukva. Mishnish Tatem. If a man goes insane, he says, Beitin Yordil Nechasav. So the Bezdin invades his, in other words, he's like in Yenemzel. He doesn't know what's coming on in the world. But the wife needs support and the kids need support. So the Bezdin invades his property. He says, Bezanin Mefarnasin Adishto. And they give food to his wife. And Mefarnasim, Rashi says, Levushuk Sut, which the article is translated, Levush is clothing, and Sut means like linens, like for the bedding. Levushuk Sut. He says, the statement of Mar Ukva continues, Ubanav Ubanotav, and they support his children, the Dabar Acher, and something else, which the Mar will identify in a few lines. Okay? So it means if he's Nishtata, so you can invade his assets to support the whole family. Amrli Ravina Ravashi, so Ravina said to Ravashi, Maishanami Hadatanya, why is that holding different from another holding we're going to see in the following Brisa? If a person, he goes off to the Gulf of Rhine. Did it work?
No. The janitor. Somebody replacing Celia. I don't know who he is. That's sure. Like he works in the school.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. All right. One second. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. I'm sorry. So he says, Mashalam Tanya, Misha Lach Medina Rayam. If a person went to Medina Rayam, he went to, like, he took this trip across the ocean, and he left the wife and kids behind, and he made no provision for them. Vishtotobat Mizono. And the wife, she's seeking authority to get the, some property, support herself. So Beit Din Yordan Lechasav, so the Beit Din invades his property, Mizanam Farnasit Vishto, and they give food and they give clothing and linens to the wife, Avaloban Avrotav, but not his children, Lodav Aracher, which we're going to identify. Anyway, so we have two statements. The first statement is a statement of Chesed and Mor Ukba, that when the guy is like, you know, he's not in this world because he's Nishtata, so then the Beis Din invades the estate and supports the wife, the kids, and Dabar Acher, which the Gemara will explain. And then the Rabbina asks Rabashi, but how come the Brisa we learn, if he takes this trip and he goes to the Delta Rhine and the wife sues for some support, we'll give her support, we're not going to support the kids, and we're not going to give money for Dabar Acher. So let's take them back on the Gemara. So, one second. Yeah. So Rabashi says to Rabina, he says, Amalei, lo shani lach bein yotze ledad, liyotze shlo ledad. He says, don't you make a distinction between yotze ledad when a person like intentionally leaves a situation? In other words, where he intentionally leaves and doesn't make any provision for anybody, that's assuming he doesn't want to give any money to anybody. He knows what he's doing and he's leaving. So we'll see. Rashi says the ksuba provides that he's obligated to support the wife contractually. But the kids, he's under no obligation. He says, Liose Shlola dies, but the guy who becomes insane, there was reasonable to assume that he would want some support. Let's just see the Rashi on this, on around the 20th line down in the Rashi's, in the narrow lines. Lo shani lach kulei, Yotze min ha-makom ledad, hayabi yidol tzavoto mazono b'navro ta, v'ishto. In other words, if he goes intentionally, he knows what's going on, so he should have made direction for support for his children and his wife, below tziva, but he didn't do that. Yila daito, shina rotze lezunan, so that's revealing that his intention is he doesn't want to give a dime to anybody, whatever's going on. Hilkach, ishto d'makayiv la b'tanai ketuba, ishtab nichse. So the wife, she has this ksuba, which contains contractual obligation to support her, and there's a shibud on his nechasim. She has a right to claim the nechasim, you know, to be supported. So we're going to give legal effect to that. But not the children. About nishtate, when the person, you know, when it was lost his sanity, diatzamen olam shelo ledad, he went out like without like knowledge. So then we can assume if he had his right mind, he would want all the members of the family to be supported. Okay, everybody good so far?
First of all, you're talking about children more than six, because less than six is his responsibility, no?
All right.
And saying, Lord, Nishtata, does it mean Nishtata? It's not here, it's not in this world? Is that
No, it was like Shote.
I'm saying, does it have a Yiddish base? Nish is not.
No? All right. This sounds like after the Kiddush, Daniel. Okay, all right. Then let's get back on the Gemara. Okay, he comes to my Chumash class each Shabbos, and the Chumash class is good, but okay. Okay. Let's see back on the Gemara now. So now the Gemara says my Davar Acher. So we made a reference twice to Davar Acher, according to Rav Chisna Mar Ukva when he's Nishtate. So we give her support, the children's support, and Davar Acher. And according to the Brisa, if he's, you know, went to the Medina Siam, we don't provide for the kids. We don't provide Dabar Acher. What's Dabar Acher? Rav Chisna Amar is a Tachshit. Rav Chisna refers to like adornments, means like cosmetics for the wife. And if you look at Rashi, Tachshit, B'samim Shlov Kat Rochel, Shanashim Kashtopen, like it means like the perfumes above Kat Rochel is like the dust of the perfume merchant. Who knows who has Shas and Shuvas Avkat Rochel? Who's the author of that? Anyway, that's the Mechaber. The Mechaber has Shas and Shuvas that are called Avkat Rochel, like the dust of the perfume merchant. Okay, so he says here, then he says, Manda, this is back in the Gemara, he says, Rav Yosef Amar Tztaka. Rav Yosef says, no, Davar Acher means to take money off for Tztaka. So again, so we're saying right now, the Pshat, according to according to Rav Chisson in Mar Okva, when a person is nishtata, so we're going to allocate money for his wife, his kids, and dabar acher, which could be either cosmetics or it could be an allocation of tzedakah. And then tzedakah is like a communal need. And then according to the Braisa, nah. So the Gemara says, now, this Rashi has two lashonos how to understand the next few lines of the Gemara. So we'll do the first way Rashi has, which is like our language in the Gemara. Now, we're focusing on the Braisa. The Braisa says that we don't allocate money for Dabar Acher. So Mandamar Takshid. So the opinion says that we cannot allocate money for a Takshid, which was the first Hesber that we gave, that was Rav Chista, that we're not going to allocate money for a Takshid for the wife's adornments, Koshkein stuck, and certainly not stuck up. Meaning, as we'll see in the Gemara, he has like, that's a personal interest in him. In other words, he normally has an interest that his wife is presentable. But if we're not even going to spend money for that, then we're not going to spend money for like a communal need, which is the tzedakah. And it could also be that he's giving tzedakah in the Medina Siyam where he's going to. We don't know what he's doing over there. Mandamar tzedakah, the opinion that says that we're not going to allocate money for tzedakah, about takshid yavinamo. But it could be that we would allocate money for a tashid, lo nichalei de tinabel. The husband doesn't want his wife to, you know, be like a mess when he's away. So that would be the way that would good. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Lo nichalei de tinabel, af bishlo tziba belechto avdinan. So even though he didn't give any directions, we would still do that. Now, Rashi is going to explain in a minute. Let me see this outside first. Rashi is going to explain there's another way to understand our Gemara and say that this nafkamina between whether we say it's takshid or it's taka is not going on the braisa, it's going on Mar Okva statement. Mar Okva says that we do give her. Let's look at Rashi, back in the Rashi where I left off. Velinira, Rashi says, I think the pshat is, in the Rashi, Dibor Machiloni, Tinabel, says, Velinira, the Mar Okva kaimi. I think that statement is going back to Mar Okva, which is the earlier statement. So in that statement, it says that we give the wife and the kids, and we're going to give them davar acher. And the gears in the Gemara should be the opposite of the way we have it in our Gemara. It should be like this. The opinion who says that we're going to give staka from his, in other words, he became the shtata, but we're going to take money from his estate and give it for staka. Certainly the tachshit, because, in other words, we're trying to, make a projection what he would have desired be done with his money. So he became the shtata. So we assume he wanted to support his family. We assume that, so if I say, I assume that he wanted money to go for tzedakah, certainly we want cosmetics for his wife. He says, umandamar tachshit, but the opinion says, no, that we just allocate money for a tachshit, about tzedakah lo. So there, he's interested in this and his wife to, look a little bit of a mess. Okay.
I want to say that with the money, there was some perfumes, cosmetics that both came.
I don't know.
And also, there was one person who said that the Jewish peddler is going from town to town and providing cosmetics for his importance.
I don't know. Okay, now, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, Amar of Kibar Avin, Amar of Huna, Mishalach and Dinan Ayam. If a person went to Medina Sayyam, he went off to the Belt of Rhine. He says, Umeita Ishto. And then, while he's on his trip, his wife died back at home. Beitin Yordan Machasa, the Kovrin Otal, the Fikvodo. So the Bezdin invades his estate and takes money to bury her, Lafikvodo. So we think it means Lafikvodo, based on his financial status. So we think right now that her financial status was higher. It was like she came from a wealthy family and she married down. So we think that Rav Chia Bar Avinus and Rav Huna, if his wife died, so with COVID on top of Fikvoda, we're going to do his lower status. So the Gemara says, Fikvoda, what do you mean? Going to his lower status, not her status? So, and Rashi brings down, now, we learned earlier that a woman is Ola when she gets married, but Rashi brings down another opinion. But she shouldn't, maybe she doesn't necessarily go up to his level, but she doesn't go down from her level. So he says, so Ema af l'pi kvodo. So no, I should understand the statement af l'pi kvodo. In other words, in achinami, if he has the higher status, we're going to bury her in the higher way. So hakamash malan ola imo v'nigeredet imo. In other words, v'afila acharmita. So Rav Huna is that this din of ola imo v'nigeredet imo is even acharmita. In other words, even after death, she's still, which we discussed earlier, she's still entitled to this higher status. So we learned it was machloket tanaim about this, right? Oh, okay, so that they were saying the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda, but here he's saying also leimo beinu yeredet imo as bilah farmita. One second. So Amar Matna, now Ramatna says haomer. Now this is talking about a man. He's on his deathbed, and he says, "Imeta, if and when my wife dies, lo tikberu amina chasav. I don't want her to be buried from his property." I mean, he's talking about himself in the third person, meaning I don't want to pay for her funeral. She's like kind of touching and way to end a life and a marriage. But remember, I don't want to spend time on her funeral. Now, the point being that the Gemara is going to say like. He has a ksuba, so she has a certain amount of assets. So whoever's getting the ksuba, in other words, she gets the ksuba during her lifetime. But then some people are going to yarsh that ksuba. Let's say the ksuba was $100,000. So whoever yarshens the ksuba is obligated to take care of the funeral. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Abana, Haomer in Meitel Otik Berumin Echasav Shomin Lo. We listen to him. So the Gemara says, Maishana. So why? In other words, why would he be making a statement like that? He's talking about a situation where he's leaving behind children, but the children are not her children. In other words, he has children behind, they're her stepchildren, but she's going to get the ksuba money. So he's saying when the time comes for her to burial, so, you know, the money's got to come out of the money that's assigned for the ksuba, but, you know, you're not her children. He says, but kilo amar nami nixay coming out me rabbi. But that would be true whether he makes a statement or he doesn't make the statement. In other words, the Gemara is asking, why would the person make the statement? Api alacha, the money for the funeral will come from the ksuba, whether he makes the statement or doesn't make the statement. So why does he have to make any statement? And she has no children, apparently. So the Gemara says, Ella, the Gemara says the statement was different. Ella ha'omer, he made who, lo tipuru mi nechasa min shomilo. Rather, the statement was, he makes the statement, if I die, I don't want you to spend any money from my estate on my funeral. He says, Ein Shomin Lo, we don't listen to him, meaning, Lav Kli Menushi Ashir Banav Yakilat Zmal Tzibur. In other words, his idea is, I don't want to take money from the estate, and, you know, because I want my kids to have the money. So the person thinks, you know, let other people pay for my funeral. It'll be from the whatever, from Staka, the communal Staka, and I'm going to be dead, I don't mind about it. That's what he's saying. So the Gemara says, we don't listen to a person like that, because in Achinami, he can't dump himself on the tzibur. He says, and look at Rashi, I'll screw me in the chasa of element of Staka. So a person's not entitled to do that. Okay, now, let's just see a little bit, and then we'll pause for a minute for questions, comments, and thoughts. Let me just get some sheets out. All right. So the Shulchan Aruch rules, but the primary obligation to bury the dead lies with his children and relatives who inherit him. If a person dies destitute and there is no one to arrange the burial, I can tell you, unfortunately, in recent years I've been to two funerals for both my parents, and I can tell you, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And my father, he wanted a graveside funeral, and I did it the way he wanted. And even the graveside funeral was many thousands of dollars. So he says, if a person dies destitute and there's no one to arrange his burial, the community at large is obligated to bury him. Now, Rav Masna says that if a dying person instructs his family not to finance his burial from his estate, but rather with public charity funds, his orders are disregarded because a person cannot exempt his children from their obligation to bury him at the public's expense. The Shulchan Aruch in codifying this halacha stresses that the heirs in this case are obligated to pay for the deceased burial only for monies that they inherited from him. However, if they did not inherit anything, his burial is financed by public charity funds and his relatives have no obligation to bury him. So from the Chaber, it sounds like the only obligation the heirs have is to take money from the estate to bury him. But otherwise, if he didn't leave any money in the estate, they don't have anything to do with it. The Shach infers from this that the deceased relatives are never forced to pay for his burial unless they inherited money from him. The Mara Mintz disagrees and draws the distinction between Rav Masa's case and an ordinary case. He maintains that generally, deceased children and relatives are required to pay for the burial, even though they did not inherit anything, as long as they can afford to do so. This is because burial provides respect for the dead, Yikar D'Shachvi, and deceased children have the primary obligation of honoring him. In the case of Rav Masna, where the dying man instructs, in other words, he wants to say that whether he leaves money or doesn't leave money, generally, there's a din Yikar D'Shachvi, Kavod HaMeis. So the children owe a din of Kavod HaMeis. So they should dig into their pockets and spend money for the funeral and not, you know, push it on the tzibur. That's the general halacha. So how come here by Rav Masna, what was going on here where he said, you know, don't leave money and ain't shomit lo? It's the case where the dying man instructs him not to bury him. He thereby excused them of their obligation to honor him. Therefore, they are only obligated to pay for his burial with funds that they inherited from him. In other words, in the case of Rav Masna's case, where he said, I don't want you to spend a dime on my funeral. Dump me on the tzibur. So there, the heirs are only obligated to spend money that he left them, but not from their own money, because it's Yikar D'Shachvi, it's Kavod HaMeis. But the Meis says, I don't want the Kavod. He says, because a person who has enough money for his own burial cannot burden the community's burial. However, if the relatives did not inherit anything, and they wanted not to pay for the burial, they're not compelled to pay for the burial, since the deceased waived their obligation to honor him. In this case, the deceased could be buried in an inferior grave, even if the family is wealthy, since he excused them of their obligation to provide him with a respectful burial as befitting his family. Okay, now, one second here. All right, he has another piece here. Maybe we'll do this later if something is shy. Okay, who's your question? Comments to us on anything?
Yes, all right,
what's up?
Did we learn Kura is the obligation of the husband because of the ketubah, because of what he gets from the father? We learned that Kura of the wife,
right,
is obligation. So now he can come and say, do not use my money to
bury her. No. Again, he was on his deathbed.
Yes.
And first of all, the Gemara revised it. The way the Havam in the Gemara was that he said, you know, after I die, when he dies, he has the money that's designated for the ketubah. So she's going to get that money. Or it'll be
so later pay for her own money.
So then when she dies, somebody's going to get that ksuba money. Whoever that person is that's getting the ksuba money, that's where the money should come from. That's what he's saying.
And also, if the man has financial status that goes up and down, like a bay, you know what we learned earlier, so you go with his current state.
It means like this: the Gemara is saying she has a certain social status at the time they marry, right?
Right.
Now, let's say his status is up here at the time they marry. So she goes up to his status. If his status goes down, so then her status would go down, but it shouldn't go down below what she was used to before she got married. Okay, so that would be like a floor for her, but not a ceiling. All right, and again, with the ksuba, so the woman could either like be supported from the estate and they're holding on to the money for the ksuba, or she takes the ksuba money, but eventually somebody gets the ksuba money. What's that? Yeah, in other words, so the Gemara thought he's on his deathbed. Now, if she has children, the children's going to take care of the burial. But apparently, she's got no children. Well, he's got children, she's got no children. So he says, you know, I don't want any money from my estate to go for her burial. That's all. But the Gemara says, anyway, the there's no obligation to pay for a burial because the burial will come from the ksuba money. So why did he even have to make the statement? So the Gemara said, you're right, he doesn't have to make the statement. He didn't make the statement about the wife, he made the statement about himself. Okay? All right, everybody good? Okay, I'm going to move on then if everybody is okay. All right? All right, so we're up to the next Mishnah, Mem Chet Amun Aleph, two lines from the bottom. Okay? So the Mishnah says, Le'olam hi b'rishut ha'av. A woman is always b'rishut ha'av if she's a Bas Yisrael Rashis is Mureset L'Kohen. Let's say she's went through Erusin, and that was the husband is a Kohen, but she only went through Erusin. She's in her father's house. So she can't eat Truma, and the father has all the zechuyos in her daughter until she goes to the Rishus for the husband. So when he's in the Olam Hi Rishut Av, Ad Shtikanes, turn page, the Rishut Baal, the Nisuin. So she enters the Rishus of the Baal for Nisuin, which Rashi says she goes to the Chuppah, the Shem Nisuin. Then when she goes to the Chuppah, now she's in the Rishus of Baal. Now, the Mishnah takes up Masar Av L'Shluchei Abal. Let's say the father doesn't give her to the husband, he gives her to the Shluchei Abal. In other words, he lives in one shtetl, and the girls and the girl's family lives in a different shtetl. And then they send like the stagecoach with Shluchim to pick her up and bring her over to the husband. You know, and again, she went to Erisin already, so she's already the wife, but waiting for Nisuin. So if the father gives her Shluchei Abal, Harei Hibur Shud Abal. That's also canceled Shud Abal. Halacha Avim Shluchei Abal. If the father decides to go along for the ride, let's say in the stagecoach, or the father sends her with his shluchim, and then his shluchim meet up with the other shluchim or whatever, so they're all shluchim together. So she's still considered to be in the rishus of the father. Master shluchim av shluchim baal. But if the shluchim of the father give her to the shluchim of the baal, then she's the rishus of the baal. Okay. Whose question comes to us? Anything we did so far?
I feel like earlier on, but it's what? Davar Acher. Why isn't the Gemara coming to tell you? We always have to come guessing game and look at why are you not just coming and saying that is Davar Acher? Why not just
can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, Dan is asking from the previous Gemara that the Brisa, and we had a statement also from Rav Chisda Nimura Ukva that referred to Davar Acher, something else, and then the Gemara explained what Davar Acher was. So Daniel asked, why does the Gemara have to have a Davar Acher? Why can't we just say what it is from the get-go? Yeah, well, but why does the Tana of the Braisa refer to it as Davar Acher? I assume like this, that I'm not 100% sure, but I'm not sure. Let me leave it. I'm not sure. Okay, now let's see back on the Gemara. Now, so the Gemara says, my Leolam. So why does the Tana of the Mishnah, the first line of the Mishnah, say the Olam Hebrew Shudah'av? She's always in the Shudah'av. When I say she's Hebrew Shudah'av, what do I need the Olam? Always in the Shudah'av. Miley Olam, La Puki Mishnah Rishona. So the Gemara says our Mishnah wants to make halacha, which is at variance with the Mishnah Rishona. Mishnah Rishona is like an earlier Mishnah that had the halacha one way and then it got revised. It done, because we learned the Mishnah earlier, Higia Zman of Lo Nisu, that if the time arrived and they never got married, Ochlot Mishlova, Ochlot Betruma. So means that from the time that the husband says that we want to get married, so Chazal put a clock on it. So if he doesn't marry her within the time, look at Rashi, fourth by line, in other words, the husband says, oh, I want to get married already. So then the clock starts going 12 months. For a month of 30 days. So the earlier Mishnah, or an earlier Mishnah said, if the time ran out, then Ochlot Mishlova Ochlot Petruma. So now it's a game changer. Now we expect him to support her with the food. And if he's a Kohen, she can eat Truma. So Kamash Malan the Olam. So the Tana of our Mishnah teaches me that at a later point in time, they said no, that even if the time runs out, but Li'olam Hibashadav, she's always Birshasa'av until she goes to the Rishus of the Baal. So Mela, she can't eat the Truma until she gets to the Rishus of Baal, even if it's more than 12 months. Okay? All right. Now the Gemara says, Masara'av Lushluchi Abal, Harei Birshadav, Chule. If the father gave the woman to the Shluchim of the Baal, she's in the Rishus of Baal. So Amarav, Mesira Talachol, Chutzmi Truma. So Rav says her being given over either by the shluchim of the father to the shluchim of the baal, or by the father to the shluchim of the baal, that is for all purposes of halakha, except for the consumption of truma, right? Except for the consumption of truma. So Rashi explains, at that point he yarshins her. At that point, if he's a kohen, he can be, and she dies, he can be metame to her. At that point, he's entitled to her earnings. And everything that with a husband and wife, except for eating the truma. So Rashi explains that according to Rav, the reason that she can't eat truma up until the marriage, until they have intimacy, is we're afraid that he's going to find
the father.
What's coming up? We're afraid that he's going to find a simpon, which is like a mum, and that'll undo the marriage. And so let's see the Rashi on this. It says chutzmi achila truma. The Tama Dida Mishum Simpon to the common Perikophony. So it's coming up later on in Daphne Zion, which will be Daphne only in about 9 days or 8 days. 8 days, right? 8 days from now. He says, "Vakati ikel mecherslachi shamim suba mumin." You can show me this tau. So it'll be a mecher tau. So wait, 1 second. So Rav says, for mesira to the shluchim of the baal covers everything except the consumption of truma. Ravasi amar afla truma. Rasi says no. It even is good for truma. And Rashi explains, I think this is what you're referring to, Fern. Ravasi amar afla truma. Sabar hadimur rabban on a rusa of tuchal betruma. He Ravasi holds. In fact, the Chami said that an arusa cannot eat truma. We're afraid that they'll give her some, you know, truma, let's say grape juice or whatever from truma in her father's house. And she'll give it to her brothers and sisters who aren't Kohanim. So here, if he's already with the Shluchei Labaal, they're not around the family anymore. So now it's okay. So we said in the Mishnah, we said that if he gives his daughter to the Shluchei HaBaal, or he gives her to his own Shluchim, the Shluchim give her to the Shluchim of the Baal, so then she's in the Rishus of the Baal. So Rav says it's for everything except the consumption of Truma, because we're afraid he's going to find a Simpon on her, and then that would be cause to undo the whole marriage retroactively. When Ravash says no, even for Truma, because the whole concern that she can't eat Truma up till now, and if you remember, we learned previously that on a deraisa level, she could eat truma after they ever sin. But the part is we're afraid she's going to give it to her brothers and sisters. Okay? Anybody want to say anything? What's up? No, she's not a bat kohen. If she is a bat kohen.
Up until she's in the husband's domain, and was, we can't continue with the
right.
Tzara, even though she's marrying Israel.
Wait. Say again.
She's a bat kohen.
Right.
Before
So what point are we talking about?
At the point of the recipient, but she's not yet the Rishon of the Baal in this zone, before she goes to the husband.
You mean after the Erusin?
Yeah.
So you're asking whether she can eat the Truma?
Sure that she can, right?
I'm not sure about that. No, that's not what I said. A long time ago. Okay, so Yosef says he remembers that she can still continue to eat the Truma. Well, on a derisa level, it makes sense, but I take it back. I need to look. I don't know. I need to take a look. Okay. Well, in other words, the bat kohen can eat truma until she's married, but now she's married, so I'm not so sure. Okay, let me look. Okay, now who's the other question that comes to us? Anyone in the cyber world? Everybody good? Okay, let's move on to the Gemara. Okay, now, so Rav Asi says that once he gives her to Shluchei HaBaal, she can even eat truma. She can do the whole enchilada. So the Gemara says, "Epi Rav Huna Ravasi." So Rav Huna, who's the Talmud of Rav, Rav says she can do everything except eat the truma. So Rav Huna, who's the Talmud of Rav, asked Ravasi, "Va'amri lo chia barav Ravasi." Others say Rav's own son Chia asked Ravasi, but they're going to be in the Rav camp that she can't eat the truma. So they quote, "This is a paraphrase of our Mishnah." So the first line of the Mishnah is that Aj Tikanesu should abal is what our Mishnah said, but it means that Rashi learned that it meant till she gets the chuppah. So it's a kasha against Ravasi. In other words, if it's saying she's in the Rishusa Av until she goes to the chuppah, that sounds like that she can't eat truma till she's chuppah there. He says, and Rashi points out around the 20th hour line in Rashi, who came to the highly olam nishamachilat truma nachalah. We said the word olam is mentioned because it's referring to the din of truma. So that's a kasha against Ravasi. It sounds like you can't eat truma like Rav says. So amalu Rav. So Rav said to the Makshans who were really arguing his point, lavamin lahu. Haven't I told you? And Rashi says he said this to his Talmud, which would be Rav Huna, and to his son Chia. Lotizlu batar ipcha. He says, don't ask a kasha from something that could be argued two different ways. Yecholish nui lechu, he could explain to you what the Mishnah means, misirata zui kinis telechupa. He says, when it says in the Mishnah, giving her over the Shluchei HaBaal is the equivalent of chuppah, a mila, then she's entitled to truma. That's what he could say. It was, it's the equivalent of being machnas l'chuppah. Being machnas l'chuppah is like you're entering the rishus of the husband. That's basically what it is. In other words, either chuppah is you're under this like little canopy under the thing, it's like this little chuppah, or the yichud room is also like his rishus and nobody else is there. So that could be the chuppah. Okay, that's what he wants to say. So the question has been deflected. All right? Now, back in the Gemara, Shmuel says that when the father gives the girl to the shluchi Baal, and the Mishnah says that she's in the rishus of the Baal, shumar liyirushata. It means for Yerusha purposes, she's in the rishus of the Baal, not for anything else. In other words, so if she were to die at that point in time, he cashes in. Reish Lakish shamar lichtubata. Reish Lakish says it means for her ktuba, she's in his rishus. So the Gemara says ktuba tamayi. What is that? Dimeta Yaritla means that she has a dowry that her father gave her. So the dowry is included in what's listed in the Ksuba that was listed there. So that's the same thing as Yarshining her. So Hainu de Shmuel. So Amar Ravina Lomar Ktubatame Achermana. So Ravina says what Reish Lakish said, L'chtubata, he meant that if at that point in time, let's imagine she's in the stagecoach with the Shluchei Abal. And if at that point in time, the husband number one would die, and now she's marrying husband number two, her ksuba from husband number two would only be a mana, even though she's still a betula, but it would only be a mana, 100 zuz. It would be a mana. Says, now, he says, so Rashi says this is around 10 lines above where it gets white downstairs. Lamar tuvata me'acher mana. The Shavya Almanam and Nesuin, so Tiknu Lachachamim Lamanam and Akonsa Acharechem. That's the Chamim established. He says, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina Dami Tarvayu, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina both say, Mesira Talakol Afla Truma. That no, it's like everything, even Truma, for everything she's in his Risha. So let's go slowly with this. So we're trying to figure out when he gives her over to the Shluchei HaBaal, so the Tana Mishnah says, now she's in the Risha of the Baal. So what does the Tana Mishnah mean? So Shmuel says it means for Yerusha purposes. And Reish Lakish says it means that now she gets a mana if she remarries, and he dies, she get remarries. And then Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina say means like for everything, except even for Truma. Okay, so Meitvei, and we're going to ask Kasha against all these opinions except for Shmuel. Now, the Brisa says we must be patient with this Brisa, so let us wait 10 lines. It says, Meitvei, Halacha Avim Shluchei Abal, if the father went with the Shluchei Abal, or the shluchim from the father went with the shluchim, or she owned a chatzer along the way, like wherever he lives and she lives, I got to mute everyone. So there's a chatzer along the way that she owns, like the lodging place, and she went just to spend the night with him. Even though her ksuba is bebeit bala, meaning the property that the dowry is ksubata bebeit bala, is you know, that's in the ksuba, is in the, her husband's house. He says, meita avia yorsha. He says, if she dies, her father yarshins her. In other words, we don't regard her as being in the baal's rishus yet. But here's the part we need. Masar ab l'shluchei abal, if the father gave her to the shluchei abal, or shemasar shluchei ab l'shluchei abal, or the shluchim from the father gave her to the shluchei abal, o shai telo chatzir baderech, or if he, the husband, had a chatzir along the way, and there was a stopping along the way, he owns a house along the way, the neftasayim ol l'shum nisuin, and she enters that house with intent that it be nisuin, that they're entering the house together, afbi shiktubata b'beit avia, even though her ksuba means the property, the dowry that her father promised is still in her father's house. Meta, if she dies at that point, Bala Yorsha, her husband yorshens her. Now, by Medra Murim, Lirushata. So this is talking about the last case that the husband yorshens her, but it's just for Yerusha. About the Truma, but as far as Truma is concerned, Ein Isho Chelba Truma, she can ace the Chuppah. A woman doesn't eat Truma until she enters the Chuppah. So Tiyufta de Kulu Tiyufta. So the Gemara says all the opinions, the way Rashi explains it, except for Shmuel, except for Shmuel, or Olapkishlak. Shmuel said that it's for Yerusha purposes, she's in the Beis Habal. But then remember that Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina said that for everything, and even for Truma, and all these other things, but this one just says for Yerusha purposes. So it sounds like they're all up to Shlok. So the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha. The Gemara says that the Bryce is internally contradictory. Amrit Nichtesayim Olalin. So initially, in the first part of the Bryce, there was a clause in the Bryce that she entered this cottage or what is Chatzer just to spend the night. So that we don't view it as Nisuin yet. Tama Delalin. So the reason we don't view it as Nisuin is they just entered the house just to spend the night. In other words, they're not spending the night in the same room. They're just, you know, just to spend the night there. He says, Hastam al-Shem Nisuin. But Stam would be l'shem Nisuin. He says, Aim a Seifa, but the Seifa of the same Bryce. So it says, Nichsaimo l'shem Nisuin. If she entered this house l'shem Nisuin, then it's Nisuin. Hastam al-Alim. In other words, the Gemara has this all over the place. In other words, like you have a certain intent. So what's the default if I didn't have that intent? So from the first part of the Bryce, it sounds like that I intend just to spend a little night there, nothing else. So it's not L'shem Nisuin. So anything else is not. But Stama would be L'shem Nisuin. In other words, I intend just to lodge, so Stama would be L'shem Nisuin. But then the second part of the Bryce says my intent was L'shem Nisuin, so it says Stama would be L'lin. So Amar Ravashi, Stami, Stami, Katani. So Ravashi says the Tana of the Bryce is talking about nobody had anything in mind. Everybody, in other words, everybody's mind is sort of blank. Stam Chatzer Dida, her Chatzer, when you enter her Chatzer, Lalin. So that's, in other words, Stam. If you're dwelling in her Chatzer, then we're going to assume that the Kavana is just to spend the night. Stam Chatzer Dida, Lenisuin. Stam Chatzer for him is Lenisuin. Let's look at Rashi, two lines above where it gets wide downstairs. Stami Stami Katani. He says, Hat Katani Nichtesayim Olalun, which says she entered the premises just to spend the night. Lo Shapir Shalalun Ani Nichtesayim. She didn't say, I'm going to spend the night here and just spend that. Below the Shem Nisuin, she didn't say that. Vahat Katani Nichtesayim Olalun Nisuin. And when it says that she entered for Nisuin purposes, Lo Shapir Shalalun Nisuin Ani Nichtesayim. Elezu Vazu Shnechnesa Stam. Each one she enters without saying any Kavana. He says, "V'tana hu dekamar." The Tana, he's the one who says, "The heicha dechatzer shala." Whereas her chatzer, stam knisata lo nisuin hein el alun. In other words, we're going to assume her intent is for lina purposes. The heicha dechatzer shala, stam knisata l'shem nisuin. And if it's his chatzer, she enters. We assume it's l'shem nisuin. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? What's up? Okay. We're first. Yosef, then Yoel. Well, there's a designation that the Chachamim made. In other words, if she's a betula, it's 200 zuz, and if she's an almana, it's 100. So you're right. Typical almana is not a betula, but she is an almana. She is an almana. She's getting almana status. What else? Reish Lakish said, "Lechtubato." Well, Reish Lakish said that it's for the next marriage. This Bryce didn't say anything about that. It just said Lirusha. So we would assume that if Reish Lakish is correct, that's what the Bryce would say. The Bryce says, what's the language of the Bryce? He says, Banamurim Lirushata. The Bryce says the only thing that she's in is Rishus is for Yerusha purposes. So, yeah, I take it back. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, we see Tosfos downstairs, Tiftalkulu. Left after the Kulu, it's not all of them. Elanau da Amri Afla Truma. Tosfos says it's the ones who say Afla Truma. So it sounds like Tosfos is saying the way you're saying. That's the way it sounds like. But the only thing is, see, Rashi says Tosfos Kulu had to plead God to Shmuel. So from Rashi, it sounds like the other one would be in play. But for Tosfos, it sounds like your way. Okay, we got to wrap it up now. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
What's that? They enter the same stream. Literally, we're saying that they are meant to spend the night together.
In other words, wait. It's his house. She's entering his house. It's understood it's the shame he's suing. But that's what I think.
Have a relation to them?
Not necessarily, but it's the same, the Shem Yisuin that they're entering that house. Okay, now let's get back on the Gemara. Okay, now.
I have to move on,
otherwise we're going to be late. Okay, now. Okay, Tana taught in a Braisa, Masar Ha'ab L'Shluchi Abal. Let's say the father gave her over to Shluchi Abal, Vizinta, and then she was Mizana. She didn't wait too long to be Mizana. Harezu B'chenek. So the Tana the Braisa says now she gets Chenek. Now, remember, Anara, that's a Betula, we get Skila. Skila, please, I need muting. Okay, so okay.
I'm just asking.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Did you want to ask a question, Ruth?
I needed an explanation. What is Mizana? She didn't wait too long to a Mizana. What is that?
Mizana is engaged, like have relations with somebody outside marriage. Okay, okay. Now, all right. Now, let me further. Listen. All right. Okay. Okay. So now, Okay, so Tana, Masar Alushlichabal, Bazinta, Harezu Bechenek. She had Chenek is like strangulation, you know, and not Skila. So Manani Mili, where do I know that from, that she gets Chenek at that point in time? So he says, Amr Bami Barchama, Amr Kral, is no Beit Avia. So it says that you're going to give Skila. Now, at this point in time, she's still a Betula, and she still could be a Nara, but we're going to give her Chenek. Because she was, and so he says that the Torah says that you give her skila because she's nara betula, and she went liznot beit abia, prat l'shemasara l'shluch abal. In other words, she commits nus when she's beit abia, when she's still in her father's house. But now that excludes the case where he gave it to the l'shluch abal. So the Gemara says ve'ema prat shenichnasa l'chupa v'lo nivela. Maybe it's coming to a sort of different case. Maybe it's coming to a sort of case where. Different case where she already went to the chuppah but didn't have relations with her husband yet, and now she's mizan at that point in time. Maybe that's what it's saying that she gets chenek. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, Amar Li Ami." So Rava says, "Ami said to me, chuppah hebi chiba." That case is explicitly in the pasuk. It says, "Kia na Rava tula mora salish." The pasuk says, "If she's a nara betula mora sa," three, you know, adjectives. Or this is Nara, or whatever they are, but three qualifications. Nara below Bogaret, she has to be Nara, not a Bogaret, can't age out. Betula below Ba'ula, she has to be Betula, can't be Ula. Morasa below Nesua, Morasa, not Nesua. My Nesua, what does Nesua mean? Ilim and Nesua Mash, if it means Nesua Mash, meaning that she already had relations with her husband, Haida Betula below Ba'ula, but then she's covered with the previous term. Elav, she nechsa the chupa below Nebula. Is it not that she entered the chuppah and was a nivela yet? So then in that case, she definitely would get chenek. But the case that we're darshening out from Liznot Beit Avia is that even that he gives her over to the Shluchei Habal, she's not chayv skil anymore. Now she's with the chenek. All right? All right. Yeah. Ma'orasa. And hasn't been given over to the Shluchei Habal. Okay, now, wait, please. Let me just finish up and then that'll be it, okay? All right, now, let's see. All right, I'll just read the story. And did you have a quick question, Daniel? What's up? So in the Chumash, it's many words like that, like Sota in the Chumash is a Shin Smali, then they simplified it later on. I don't know what to tell you. I know the Bar Kokhba letters. They write like Nasi with a Samech. It's simpler with a Shin with a Samech than a Shin. I'm saying if you're reading it, it's Samech simpler than a Shin Smali. Okay. Now, Ardaf continues to discuss various rights enjoyed by married women. A certain Israeli woman was once in a terrible quandary about the extent of her exact monetary rights. Her husband was not interested in becoming religious and refused to consider squandering his money on religious articles, for example, mezuzahs. Okay. Ruth, I hope you're listening. I'm trying to read this slowly for you. Ruth, all right. Now, his wife felt that if he only had tefillin to wear, it would encourage him to move closer to Judaism. But she also knew that there was no point in even broaching such a sensitive subject with her misguided husband. It could only complicate their marriage, since he would definitely refuse to purchase a pair. The woman wondered if she was permitted to use her husband's money to purchase tefillin for him and then present them to him as if they'd been a gift. Like, I'll buy $2,500 pair of tefillin. Here, dearest, I got you a surprise. Now, although her husband was not willing to spend money for her religious ideals, he didn't keep too careful an account of his money, and she felt that he would never even notice. When she asked her Rav if at least the mezuzah was part of her rights, and whether she should engage in trickery to enable her husband to perform his duty to put on tefillin, Rav was at a complete loss. Eventually, this question reached Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv's Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. Rav Eliashiv answered, only Bezdin can force a man to perform mitzvot for which he's obligated. So tefillin should certainly not be purchased with his money. As for mezuzahs, since we hold like the Mordechai, who says that one who can't get a mezuzah may live in the house without mezuzahs, she cannot steal from her husband to force him against his will to help her fulfill this mitzvah. He concluded, however, it is obviously a great mitzvah to provide her with the funds so that she will be able to procure mezuzahs and tefillin. Okay, let me just wrap up. One time.